Born in London and now residing mainly in the U.S., Grammy-nominated composer Anna Klein has been championed by many prominent conductors and orchestras around the world. The most recent album to feature Anna's music is called Mythologies. Five different orchestral works, all of them performed by the BBC Symphony Orchestra, and Anna Klein has joined us virtually from her home in the Hudson Valley to talk about the album. Let's begin with an overview. Anna, can you tell us how this recording came to be and how these pieces came together?
Absolutely. So as you mentioned, there are five pieces on the record, Mythologies, and they span 10 years. So the oldest is from 2005, which I wrote at the very end of my time at Manhattan School of Music. And the most recent is in 2015. And I've been very fortunate to develop a very fruitful relationship with the BBC Symphony Orchestra. They've been incredibly generous in programming a lot of my music. So it occurred to us that as we had this sort of treasure trove of live performances and live recordings, and that it was an opportunity to gather them together and share them as a release.
There are such interesting inspirations behind each of these works. I've seen the drawing you made for one of the pieces. It's a big, long mural that charts how the music was eventually structured. Can you explain the process behind that work?
Yes, the piece is Night Ferry, and it's a piece in one movement. It's about 22 minutes long. And when I was asked to write this piece, the music director, Riccardo Muti, asked that I turn to Schubert for inspiration. The long story short of that is I discovered that he suffered from cyclothymia, which is a form of rapid mood swings, which seemed to make sense. You know, knowing a lot of his music, it has those sort of wild emotional spectrums. But in addition to finding the inspiration in that way, I was also challenged with how to write a long one movement work. I knew I wanted it to be in one movement, but how do I approach structure when it's, you know, 20 to 25 minutes long? So what I decided to do was to use, as you said, a visual approach to the music. So in my studio in Chicago, I put seven large pieces of paper next to each other. And each of those pieces of paper represented 3 minutes of music. So I subdivided the work into these seven 3-minute sections. And the first idea I had for the piece actually was a visual idea as opposed to a musical idea. I imagine this very dark, turbulent wave. Night Ferry is really an exploration of turbulence of the mind, but also turbulence in nature. So I started by actually making a visual representation of that on paper with paint, with some Polaroid photographs and some poetry. And then I translated that into music, and then I would write music and translate that into murals. So there's this very symbiotic relationship between the music and this visual representation.
That's fascinating. Was that process particular to that piece, or have you done that with other works?
It was the first time really developing that on a large scale. I also had the good fortune of having space in Chicago, which you don't so much have in New York. So yeah. I was able to put these pieces of paper on the wall. But I am very much a visual composer, so even if I don't do it to that extent, which is, you know, it's quite a detailed representation of the music, I do find it very helpful to gather visual ideas. I sometimes write music that's inspired by specific paintings, for example, and I find that can be really inspiring.
Let's talk about your style as a composer. You draw on visual art, but you're also inspired by poetry. I remember your cello concerto from earlier this year, which was modeled after a poem by Rumi, for instance. And there are poetic allusions in this new album as well with William Butler Yeats. It seems like collaboration is a big part of your process. In some cases, you know, you're collaborating with yourself, like making that mural, or in other cases, you collaborate with particular performers.
Absolutely. I really love collaborating with other artists, other musicians, or, you know, visual artists, choreographers, filmmakers. And one of the things I love about that is it really freshens the creative process. Like, you know, I could be writing an episode of music and I could get, input from a choreographer, for example, that leads the music in a direction I wouldn't have thought of myself. So that's always really exciting. But as you said, sometimes there's not actually another collaborator. So you kind of become a collaborator with yourself. So in the case of Night Fairying, having this visual representation. But poetry is often a source of inspiration. You mentioned the Yeats in the third track on the album is The Seamstress, which is a violin concerto. It's a violin concerto by name, but really I imagined it as an imaginary ballet, having this seamstress, you know, on the stage, just gradually unraveling these threads to create this sort of series of five short stories. And the poem that also inspires that is Yeats's I Made My Song a Coat Covered with Embroideries Out of Old Mythologies from Heel to Throat. And that's where I take mythology as the title for this album.
Can you tell us more about that violin concerto, The Seamstress? There's a sort of mythological component there with the idea of spinning and unraveling thread, you know, like the three fates in Greek mythology. But I have to say, your piece gets pretty spooky at times with the way that you use the spoken voice.
Yeah, so The Seamstress is for solo violin and orchestra, but I also recorded another composer, actually a dear friend of mine, Irene Buckley, who's a Cork-based composer, and she has a very beautiful melodic voice, and she recorded the Yeats poem, both spoken but also whispered. So what I did is I left space in the music for us to have at the in one of the earlier sections, as you said, it's quite eerie. You hear the whispered voice, like little fragments, using stereo panning as well. And then later in the piece, you hear the actual poem is recited. But it was a really fun opportunity to explore incorporating pre-recorded material with the live orchestra. And it's something I'm starting to explore more, is incorporating more electronic components. I've done a lot of that with chamber music, but now dipping my toes with orchestral music.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't you work mainly in electroacoustic music when you were first starting out?
I did, yes. I wrote a lot of pieces for solo instrument or string quartet with a pre-recorded tape track, and they I found to be very useful. You know, for example, if I'm working with a choreographer that has a very small budget, they could pay just one musician but have like this big, you know, canvas of sound to work with. So it's very practical, but it was a very organic transition from writing electroacoustic music to writing orchestral music. You know, to begin with writing for the orchestra, I didn't have electronic components, but it's the same tool set in a way. Like in electronic music, for example, I use a software called Pro Tools. So I'll take a sound and cut it up, you know, reverse it, add a delay, pitch shift it, all these things. And of course, all these processes can be done in real time with the live orchestra, which is really exciting. So seems like a very natural progression.
That brings me to another piece on the album, which is called Rewind. And that comes from the idea of a videotape rewinding. People of my generation will remember that sort of experience very well. But it's remarkable how you've taken what is an electronic process and you've turned it into an acoustic process. I mean, you're using the instruments of the orchestra, right?
I am, although I have to confess that the last sort of 10 to 15 seconds, there is actually a pre-record of the piece that plays back in the concert hall. What I did is I recorded a rehearsal and then I literally rewound it. So compressed it, the whole piece, into this very short amount of time. So it's quite a chaotic swell of sound, but it's also doubled by the orchestra. So you can't really perceive if it's electronic or acoustic.
Yeah, I could not tell.
That's great.
Another piece you have on here that ends with a bang, from the timpani in this case, is a piece called This Midnight Hour. Can you tell us about that work?
Yeah, so This Midnight Hour is inspired by two poems. One is Charles Baudelaire, Evening Harmonie du Soir, Evening Harmony, I should say. But it has some very evocative language. He talks of languid vertigo, melancholic waltz and languid vertigo. So I play with that. At one point in the piece, the orchestra breaks out into this sort of waltzing figure, and I try to recreate the sound of a Parisian accordion. So in the sort of umpa-pa of the waltz, I have the violas playing at pitch and half of them playing like a little flat. So it's a bit out, basically out of tune, and it creates this sort of sonic effect of an accordion. But it's also inspired by a very short poem by the Spanish poet Juan Ramon Jimenez, and he writes, "Music, a naked woman running mad through the pure night," which I thought was just wonderfully, also wonderfully evocative. So there's some sections in there when you really feel the energy of the orchestra picking up, like imagining this naked woman just frantically running through the streets at night.
Let's talk about some of the other musicians that you have on this disc. I know you've worked a lot with the conductor Marin Alsop, she's on here, but also violinist Jennifer Coe. Can you tell us about those relationships?
Yeah, it's been such an honor to work with all of these conductors and the artists, and so I'm so thankful that they've agreed to let this music out into the world. But as you mentioned, Marin Alsop conducts Masquerade, and the recording on this album is actually the world premiere recording. I wrote it for her to open the last night of the Proms back in 2013. So when I hear it, it really takes me back in time to that experience, which was, as a Brit, incredibly exciting. It's such an iconic classical moment, classical music event in the year. It was also the first time in the history of the Proms that a woman led the last night of the Proms, and obviously Marin Alsop. So that was very exciting. And the BBC Symphony Orchestra's music director, Zachary Aramo, conducts two of the pieces on the program, on the album, This Midnight Hour and The Seamstress. And as you mentioned, The Seamstress features Jennifer Coe, who I've had the good fortune to work with on a couple of other pieces. And it's always a wonderful resource to write for her, because she can play these incredibly beautiful and tender lines, but also play with real vigor and earthiness. And I love that juxtaposition in the way she plays her violin. And it also features two other conductors. Andre de Ridder performs Rewind, and Andrew Litton performs Night Ferry. And also, as we mentioned earlier, Irene Buckley recites the Yeats poem for the seamstress.
Let me ask you, if I may, how the pandemic has been affecting you. I've spoken with a lot of composers recently who have had commissions postponed or even outright canceled, and they're working from home. How has this experience been for you?
Yeah, I mean, on a larger scale, it's obviously an incredibly troubling, difficult time for everybody in many aspects of the world right now. From a creative standpoint, I've actually found it to be very creative. I'm very fortunate that coming into the pandemic, I had a lot of commissions already on the books. So it's sort of business as usual for me, meeting the deadlines. Obviously, some performances have been cancelled or postponed, but I found music to be a real support going through this time, to have a sense of purpose every day and a sense of routine, which I know is difficult when we don't have those things. So I've really tried to take it as a positive experience, and really thankful for this time to really focus on writing.
album is called Mythologies from Avi Records. Music of Anna Klein, performed by the BBC Symphony Orchestra. We'll link to that from our website at WGTE.org. Composer Anna Klein, congratulations on this wonderful new album, and thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us about it here on FM 91.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.